26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came of the word, this word, from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Now this was in the, we read in the beginning, but the word beginning is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it means the first part or the principal part of something, not necessarily the starting of something. So when this actually was, it's really not telling us, but it was a time during Jehoiakim's reign. Now his son reigned, Jehoiachin, for a short time, and then the nation was cut off. But so, even so, it was probably so close to the last of his reign. But as we read what's going on here, he was to speak, and he'd speak every word, not even leave one word out that God had told him to speak. Verse 3, if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doing. In other words, if they'll turn around, then I'll turn around. That's what the thought of the repent means. It means to turn around and do what the opposite, or the walk in the opposite direction that you once walked. And so if they'll turn around, then I'll turn around, and we'll meet together, and we can have fellowship, if they will, and work out my purpose. This is all God's interested in, that is, purpose is worked out in people's lives. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If thou wilt not hearken unto me, and walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servant the prophets, whom I have sent unto you, both rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. Now we had the same thing, and we've talked about these prophets, but over and over and over again, they refuse to listen. Verse 6, and I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse unto all the nations round about. Now, God brings on the scene here an incident that happened many years ago during Eli's time, before they ever had a king. When the ark was at Shiloh, and they was losing the battle, I'm not going to read it. You can look up 1 Samuel 4, and even verse 4, I imagine, would be better to start. Anyway, they went down to Shiloh and got the Ark of the Covenant, and they believed that if they took the Ark upon the front lines, that they would start winning. And reason and normal, this would have been true, because God would have honored this. But they were so completely out of God's purpose and God's harmony and God's will, and Eli's sons were so bad, the priests, that God wouldn't honor this fact. And it was all in vain. They took the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines took it, and they didn't keep it very long because all their gods started falling down and worshiping. But anyway, they put it on a cart and sent it back. So he said, I'm going to make this house like this incident. Everything will be vain. Nothing you do will win. And this city will be a curse to the nations of the earth. And truly, Israel was a curse to the nations. They were ridiculed. Why, their God can't do anything. And this is the thought I think we have in here. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had ended speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. How terrible. And if he had been false, this would have been the truth. Deuteronomy 18 definitely states that a prophet that is a false prophet had to die. But the question here, who was the false prophet? See, was it their prophets or was it Jeremiah? See, and so there was a sentence of death here in verse 8 put upon him, and then again later on. But let's go ahead and read it. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an habitation? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. You know, many people don't want the truth. Jesus, during his time, he says they love darkness rather than light. And even today, very few people really want truth. They will rebel against it. They want to believe what they want to believe, or what the majority believes, actually. They want to lay hold of. And we see that. Notice in these verses how many times it says all the people. See, the majority of people, the congregation of people gathered against Jeremiah. When the prince of Judah heard these things, then they came down from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And by the way, this new gate was a gate that Jotham had built. Who read last, by the way? Greg, look up 2 Kings 15:35, and you'll read that it's called there a higher gate. During his reign, they didn't get rid of all the high places and the idolatry. And so to compromise, he put another gate in the temple area. This is the same as a new gate. It wasn't a gate God built. See, the normal place for them to make the decisions was at the gate of the city. So at this wasn't God's gate. This was man's. So this is where they all met to make a decision concerning the fate of Jeremiah. Verse 12, then spake Jeremiah to all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me. Now here's Jeremiah's testimony. The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against the city and all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent. He'll not do these things. He will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. See, the only thing he wanted was his purpose worked out. If they would yield to his purpose, he wouldn't have brought them into captivity. And he wouldn't bring the city a desolate place. And verse 14, he says, as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good, and meet or righteous or right unto you. But know ye certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourself and upon this city, upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. This is the truth. The Lord has sent me to do this. And we look at the majority of these people, how fickle people are, how they go right in with what everybody else wants to do. Because notice the next verse in here. Then the princes and all the people and the priests and the prophets said, this man is not worthy to die. Now when the princes and the priests, then the people followed it. Before they was crying out, put him to death. Now they're saying he's not worthy to die just because the princes and the priests were saying it. And we had the same thing during Jesus' time. One Sunday, they were shouting Hosanna to the highest. By Thursday, they were shouting crucify him, crucify him. So people are the same. Wednesday, I should have said, rather than Thursday. But people's the same anyway. But then we read on. I don't want to spend too much time in all that. This man not worthy to die, for he hath spoken unto us in the name of the Lord. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake unto all the assembly of the people. Now, here is quite a thing, because it become a divided thought. Part of the elders looked toward or used Micah as an example in verse 18. And Jeremiah was not the first prophet that prophesied like this, although we read of many, but they brought Micah on the scene and prophesied in the days of Hezekiah the king, and spake unto all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah the king of Judah and all of Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our soul. And so what they were saying is Micah came, they believed in the prophecy, they turned to the Lord, they repented, and God sent Sennacherib away, and they weren't conquered. All things looked pretty dismal. And if they hadn't have turned to the Lord, I'm sure they would have been conquered then. Of course, God, through his wonderful foreknowledge, knew they wouldn't. But then, on the other hand, they bring another prophet on the scene. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shimna of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city, against the land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. So we have another man that prophesied during the first year of Jehoiakim's rule, I believe it was. But Jehoiakim had a different attitude, didn't he? He rebelled against the words of Urijah. And he feared, and he ran, and he went to, find it here, he went to Egypt, and Jehoiakim went after him. All of this is in verse 21. And he brought him again and put him to death. Now here's the thought, I think we have it all in. On the one hand, Hezekiah believed the prophet and he was saved. On the other hand, Jehoiakim didn't believe the prophet, put him to death. God hadn't done anything. Peter talks similar to this. He says, since I was young, I've heard of the Lord's coming. Where is the coming of the Lord? I've heard it since I was a kid. You see, God hasn't done anything yet. And so this is the thought, I think, that we have in this. But notice the last verse. Nevertheless, the hand of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him unto the hand of the people to be put to death. Now, God is always there. No matter how dismal, no matter how things look, God is always there. I think in chapter 1, about verse 4, that he promised Jeremiah. Somebody look at it for me. He promised Jeremiah that he would be with him. He didn't tell him he wouldn't go through trials or heartaches or problems, but that he would be with him. And God had a man on the scene here to show that he was still with Jeremiah. Who found it? Read it, somebody. And he goes on to say that he wouldn't leave him, or he wouldn't, how's that go? I can't quote it. Yeah, I'm with you. Anyway, this was a promise of God that he would be with him. Maybe it is verse 8.
Yeah, I am with you to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Yeah, and so this was a promise of God. And God was with him. And so he had a man on the scene, Jehoiakim. Now he was a son of Shaphan. And in 2 Kings 22, Evelyn, read from 12 through 14. And I think you can find out that this is a wonderful man of God. He's the one that found the scriptures and took them to the king, Josiah. And that in chapter 2 Kings 22, 12 through 14. So God had a good man. And the thought that I had in this, when I was reading this early this morning, is God is never without a witness. He's never without some good people that's on his side. And so they were in there, and their voice had some value to it, but he wasn't put to death.